Your Halloween adventure begins with Wind River Resort and Casino's Under Construction Halloween Bash, featuring the well-known hip-hop duo Ying Yang Twins, performing Salt Shaker, Wait, the Whisper Song, What's Happening, and Bad. Plus, DJ Chris will be spinning live beats all night long. The Under Construction Adventure kicks off on Saturday, October 29th at 9 o'clock. Drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contest, over $3,000 in cash and prizes. Pre-sale general admission is $20, $25 day of show. VIP booth $250 includes 6 guests, swag, cocktail service, and 2 bottles of champagne. This signature event sells out fast. Get your tickets now, 1-800-280-YOU-WIN, or online at windriver.com. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your under-construction Halloween adventure. Don't forget to check out our hotel packages. Must be 21 to attend. For details, log on to windriver.com. We offer our guests a free Safe Ride courtesy shuttle home. Halloween is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence.
Good morning, Northern California. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here, filling in for Carl Bott. And, of course, you know there's no way I can fill in for the lovely Miss Linda. Both of them are out on assignment today. Our guests today include Stephanie Bridget, the Deputy District Attorney, and my good buddy Vince Stevenson. Bad Bob, let's start with the weather.
Well, first we have to start with our Wednesday tradition. You know, do you know what day it is?
Uh-oh, it's Tuesday.
Guess what day?
It is Tuesday.
How did I get ahead?
I could swear.
You're so motivated.
That is wishful thinking. That is wishful thinking that I wanted it to be Wednesday.
That's because the rain's coming and you were so excited.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, we are going to see some precipitation right now. We're looking at 50 degrees in Redding, sunny and a high of 78, so the temperature is starting to drop off. Clouds moving in tonight. By tomorrow night, it would be mostly cloudy skies, and then rain showers as we hit Thursday morning. That is a definite, and a series of storms will be moving through. Daytime highs are going to drop down into the low 60s, overnight lows remaining right around the 50-degree mark, and we are looking at rain all the way through the weekend. Accumulations somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1 to 2 inches by the time it's all said and done, depending on where you're at. So much needed precipitation hitting the North State. This brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. You'll find them at 365-3793, and they are veteran-owned, and services is a big part of their philosophy there at Shasta Gas Propane.
I love it. I'm excited about the rain. I got to tell you, in my mind, I don't know why, but as I get older, there's just nothing better than a good, solid rainstorm. Open up the front and back door of your garage and tinker on your Harley or clean your garage.
Cleans
out
the air.
Oh, it's so nice. So nice. Did you... Oh, I guess you didn't watch the game last night, huh?
I did not. I was we were watching some other stuff and headed for bed at 10. Unlike some people who wanted to try to outlast the game.
I tried. I couldn't. I fell asleep like at about 10:45, so I was really bummed. But, of course, one of the best ball games I've seen in years, and congratulations to the Giants. You know, they play tonight again at 5:30, by the way. As you get older, I don't know if you feel like this, but as you get older, you start to look at these guys and what they do on the field of play. Man, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. They brought in that one closer. Chicago brought in that closer. Was throwing 105-mile-an-hour fastball. And you have, you know, professional baseball players actually hitting that little ball. I mean, it's incredible to me. And then, of course, I watched what was considered a football game, even though it hardly was, between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers earlier. Man, the beating, the beatdown those players take. It's no wonder they have such short careers.
Yeah,
and a lot of them come out hurt.
Well, baseball is sort of parallel to weather forecasting in that you only have to be right half the time. If you hit a 500, you're considered pretty prime material.
That's that's exactly right. You know, I sometimes feel a little bad for old the weather guys on Channel 7, Rob Ellington and those. Man, they really don't have much to report most of the time.
In Redding, in between May and about now, there isn't a whole lot to talk about that doesn't just make people go, ugh.
Yeah. I sometimes find myself standing in front of those TV going, come on, give me a break.
My wife, Brenda, who, of course, is a professional weather forecaster, not the TV variety, said that for a time she didn't want to work in Phoenix because the weather down there is boring, and ditto with a place like San Diego where, you know, the forecast, you just sort of rubber stamp the forecast and call it a day. Up here, at least, there's a little challenge. Her specialty is fire weather, which is a big deal, of course, near and dear to our hearts. But so we do have a change coming in, and we should see the decline in Shasta Lake hopefully arrested. We're looking pretty good, though. We're only 72 feet down in October, which is a good year.
That's a very good year.
Yeah.
Bob, have you ever lived in a place where you had real weather?
I can't. You mean like in major events you know, there's like sirens on towers telling when to dive for? No. And nor do I have a burning desire to do so.
I lived in North Carolina at Fort Bragg for 10 years, and I lived in Des Moines, Iowa. And once you have real weather, let me tell you, it'll change the way you live.
I have never seen the green sky, and Brenda said that she's seen that once, and that is the sky turns an olive green as when the conditions are right for tornadoes. And, you know, people think we're nuts for living out here. Oh, the earthquakes. And I felt exactly two in my life, you know, that I've really actually said, oh, that was an earthquake, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we live inland, of course, so I'm not too worried about it. But, we had a tornado siren that went off every week at noon just to test it in Des Moines, Iowa. And it was, as luck would have it, right in front of our house on the street. That was great, man. And of course, we didn't know, being new residents.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time it went off, boy, were we flipped out.
Yeah. Definitely bring you. Well, what time it was? In the middle of the afternoon?
12 noon.
Okay.
12 noon.
Yeah.
Even on a bright sunny day or rainy day, didn't matter.
That is small town America, though, when they fire off the siren at the downtown fire station, you know, to mark the noon hour. That's kind of a sign of small town America that is rapidly fading into history.
It was definitely small town. Matter of fact, I would tell people, man, I really love this town. And you know what they'd say? Don't tell anybody. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, don't tell them because they'll come here. Yeah,
that's exactly right. So great guests yesterday. Had a North Valley stand down come in. And, of course, Adam McElvain. So I got home last night. And, you know, I checked Facebook. And I checked Facebook. And, boy, there is a lot of political banner going on Facebook. I mean, a lot. I
Facebook has become roadkill, and it's like I said, it's become the political situation has become my candidate doesn't stink quite as much as yours. And it's interesting, the old guard Republicans. I heard this morning some Republican strategist, one of those who was calling for Trump to turn around and leave, said, "Oh, well, I'm going to write in George Bush." Seriously? Or Jeb Bush?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
And I saw another one say he's going to write in Mike Pence. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The people who think that the Bushes would somehow ride in and save the Republican Party, I don't know what medication they're on. But it ain't happening.
No.
The American people are looking at that going, you know, you gave us the two worst possible choices, and we thought you gave us the two worst possible choices. There's the – that beats them both.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm just going to stay off it. And I've seen a lot of people who have actually posted, look, I'm just not going to say anything anymore because it's just a, I mean, it's a beat
It's become
down.
Vicious. And the neat thing about Facebook is that nobody ever changes anybody's mind and everybody gets irritated.
That's right. That's exactly right. The only thing you get to do is make people mad. I've done that more than once, I'm sure.
But there are those who enjoy trolling, and it's a sad thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So what we talk about a little bit more about that. My buddy Rocky Slaughter, who I have a lot of respect for, and he does a great job in the community, he had a really good post last night. And basically what he said was, look, nationally it's ugly. Let's just kind of take that, vote how you're going to vote, and let's move on. Let's really kind of look at the local races. And let's try to do some development here in Reading and try to do the best we can with what we have locally.
There has been some impending nastiness about a couple of things, and I'm hoping that we can keep the discourse civil, you know, and not descend to that level.
I thought it was what Adam said yesterday was timely. Yeah. Look, we're going to get along. First, we're going to get along no matter who wins or loses. We're all going to get along in the city council and make change.
Yeah, it's real easy to be snarky. But that doesn't accomplish things.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
This portion of the program brought to you by Home Helpers in-home care services. More than an in-home care agency, where your extended family, when family can't be there. Locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care and customizing home care solutions to your unique situation. For an affordable solution that keeps your loved one where they're happiest at home. It is 7:16 on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Back with more after this.
My name is Steve Morgan, and I'm running for the Board of Supervisors, District 4. One of the accomplishments that I'm very proud of is the acquisition of 2 new Type 1 and 1 new wildland fire engines for the Shasta Lake Fire Protection District while I was chairman. It was possible to purchase this equipment by pursuing and getting past the benefit assessment. Now my fire district has up-to-date and improved equipment. As chair of the Shasta Mosquito District, we were able to raise our own mosquito fish by purchasing the tanks and equipment necessary. By raising our own fish, we can be sure to have enough fish to serve Shasta County without having to use outside sources. I was also able to assist with the formation of the union for the workers of the Mosquito District and to have a mutually beneficial contract between the workers and the district. I ask for your vote, so remember, your vote counts.
It's tent sale time this weekend, all weekend, and Reading Key is moving them all to the Mount Shasta Mall. This is the big one.
You'll save lots of money with 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2016 Optimas, Fortes, and Rios, and 2017 Fortes and Sorentos.
Get $2,500 Kia customer cash on all 2016 Fortes and Optimas.
Choose from 52 new Optimas and 38 new Sorentos while they last.
And leasing's easy with $6,900 Kia lease cash on 16 Sedonas and $4,600 Kia lease cash on 17 Sorentos.
Don't miss this sale this weekend at the Mount Shasta Mall. All of the cars will be there and priced to move.
Complimentary oil changes for life with every vehicle purchased. It's going to be fun.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charges on approval of credit subject to prior sale. Must lease through Kia Motors Finance for lease offer ends 10/31.
Reading Kia is at the Mount Shasta Mall this weekend.
ReadingKia.com.
Right now, more than one half of military-connected students attend a community college like Shasta College, where they need one-on-one services. Measure H will assist military personnel and veterans with a dedicated veteran support center at Shasta College. Right now, our businesses need trained workers. Measure H will help with the construction of a new career technical education facility to provide students with training in advanced manufacturing, welding, automotive diesel, and computer science. And right now, perhaps more than at any other time, our fire, law enforcement and emergency medical workers need trained personnel. Measure H will help by building a regional public safety training facility for collaborative trainings and to fill positions with highly trained new job candidates. With Measure H, all money raised will stay local and cannot be taken by the state, nor used for salaries, pensions, or other operating expenses. Do your part to help our veterans, our businesses, and our fire and police. Vote yes on Measure H.
Paid for by the Committee in Support of Measure H.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
That'll get your blood pumping.
I love that.
Al Congo, 720.
Right on. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy and Bad Bob here talking leadership. So, really, when you go back to the idea that we're going to have to pick out of what really looks like a pretty solid lineup of city council candidates, you know, the idea that you can just show up and lead is the wrong idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be forged as a leader. You can be forged in a home. You can be forged in your employment. You can be forged on the field of play. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different places where people become leaders. But I think it is incumbent on a leader to remember they're responsible for how we feel.
Correct. Now, there are those who say, well, we should put everything up to a vote. That's not how it works. This is a representative, you know, well, in a pure democracy, this is not a pure democracy, nor was it ever designed to be. It was designed to be a representative form of government. You elect someone to make the decision so we can get about doing our work. And if you don't like their decisions, you vote them out and vote in someone else.
Well, that's exactly right. Because, you know, if we had a pure democracy, you know what would happen, right? That we'd vote to take away everything that those who are in power had. So we just can't do that.
Anybody who believes that a absolute pure democracy is a good idea just needs to look at the TV ratings. Why did the Kardashians own the
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought that whoever wins that council race, and I think that they're all qualified, and I'm excited to see it get put together, just like I was, you know, 2 years back when we had the council race then. I just hope they go in as a team and realize that they're responsible for how we feel. It's a huge part of our quality of life. A huge part of our quality of life.
Exactly. And There are things on the council. The council has spent, in my observation, too many years kicking cans down the road, and it's time to pick up the can and recycle it, or put something in, or however far I want to take that metaphor. But we've got to stop appointing a committee or hiring a consultant or doing something just so we don't have to deal with it today. There are some big issues, and everybody knows it, and the council is just going to have to knuckle down and take a hard look at everything from the self-sustaining staff. And if the staff is not getting the job done, make adjustments. That's what you do.
Absolutely. And you know what is kind of nice, too, is when you have the ability to build in your own victories, which they really do. So let's just say, you know, Kristen Schrader has, you know, she's taken on the homeless issue. So she has 700 homeless tents in the city. And 1 year from now, she has 600. That's huge. That's huge. And you can report that. And you would probably get a standing ovation in the council chambers, because that's movement forward and you've built in your own victory. I love it when leaders do that, because it says two things. It says you care what we think, and it also says we've kept the mission in mind. The agenda is to make the streets safe. Nobody would argue that homelessness adds to the crime, although, you know, I'm not going to speculate on what kind of crime. That's the chief of the sheriff's job. But we know it adds to crime. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. And so anytime you can transition people from homelessness to a healthy environment or living space, I think that you've done a great thing. And I think we should be able to applaud them for that instead of constantly beating them down about how they're not doing enough. They're doing something.
Yeah,
they're just not letting us know.
There's an abundance of folk who are quite content to sit behind their screens on their behinds and type snarkisms into the paper or chat rooms or whatever. I want to see those people showing up at the meetings with usable ideas, not trying to out-clever each other and how nasty they can be and what kind of creative names they can come up with. Give me some solutions. You know, it's easy to call to say it's bad. It's a whole lot harder to come up with an idea to make it better.
Well, yeah, and one of the best examples of that is the leadership that Del Ball and Shasta Support Service has shown in the past year and a half. They do a lot of good stuff. I mean, he showed up with a good idea. Now he goes, now they do safety walks and they do all kinds of crazy stuff, picking up trash and cleaning up homeless camps and, you know, helping out there. That was a need that needed to be filled.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of leadership that we're looking for. In addition, I think we should be able to applaud our city council leaders more. I really want to see that. When Kristen Schrader got into the controversy with the Board of Supervisors because she was moving too quickly on her project, right? On her personal mission, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. People were saying, "Oh, she's moved too fast. She didn't consult us. She didn't say, hey, look, whatever. We could sit here forever and wring our hands together and, like you said, kick that can down the road. But guess what? She stepped on a few toes and she's getting some things moving forward. At least now you're listening.
Yeah. It's interesting that not to open up the large can of worms, but groups of people who get together and say we want to do something about a situation, and the Downtown Reading Business Association comes to mind, is summarily done away with, and implications of wrongdoing are thrown about that actually, as it turns out, had no substance.
Well, of course, but here's the thing. You also have to be careful how you handle feedback and ideas that you don't necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'll give you a great example. I like Gary Cadd. Mm-hmm. I think his dissenting opinion on much of what goes on is incredibly powerful. It is, you can't buy that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we don't need a closed session consent agenda council who just passes on everything that gets handed to them on blue paper.
If everybody's thinking the same thing, somebody's not thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner, great pitcher. But if you had a whole team of Madison Bumgarners, you could not play a ball game.
Yeah.
Right. So I like Cadd. I think he brings up stuff that we need to listen to and need to be addressed. Now, am I going to agree with everything all the time? Of course I'm not going to. But any committee or board that I sit on, I have a philosophy. And I will tell you, I don't need any more friends. I was in the Army for a very long time. I got friends all over the country and world that I don't get to see now.
Yeah.
What I need is I need people who can help me lead this organization. And if you might be telling me stuff I don't want to hear, and I might be telling you stuff you want to hear, but you can't get upset about it. You can't take that and ingest it internally and hold it and then talk about it later. Let's just get it lined out. And I saw a post last night. This is absolutely not no Gary Cadd. I'm a little bit afraid that we're going to get everyone on that council that feels exactly the same way about things, and we're not going to get that good leadership inertia that we need going forward, where somebody argues with them.
Yeah, you need somebody to say, you know, is this where we want to spend our money? It's going to take – it isn't an easy job. This is not for sissies, and you need to get out there. But it's too easy to get bogged down in minute details too, you know.
It's also easy to circle the wagons in a small town.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Everybody knows each other. You know, all the council members know each other, the board of supervisors, the DA, the sheriff, the chief, and all of a sudden it's easy to circle those wagons, hang out with the cool kids, and just say, well, that's good. You know, I'm getting along with everybody, and you know, I get a free ticket to the you know, I get a free ticket to the pancake breakfast every year because of that. So, you know, I don't want to rock the boat too much. I'm getting along. I'm hanging out with the cool kids, and you know, so someone's got to be an honest broker.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when they show up to the council meetings, they're shut down.
Yeah.
They're shut down, just like the Downtown Reading Business Owners Association, just like that. There's no difference. You've got that feedback's important.
I think it might be time for a break.
Let's do it.
First thing I have to do, I need you to talk for a second because I just realized I don't have the piece of paper I was supposed to have in my hand when I did that. Well, tell me about, actually, this is your break.
My break, right on.
Yes.
Northern Firearms Instruction
is sponsoring, actually, this portion of the program. We're being a little shameless about it here. Why are you in this line of business?
Here's the deal. My family thinks I'm working when I say I go to work, so I don't want to say too much, right? But I am in a line of work where I get to emotionally connect with people every single day. When you put a firearm in their hand, or you put three of them together with firearms in their hand, it's an emotional experience for them, so especially if they've never used firearms, because they're holding what they consider, and true to be, a deadly tool. And if they make a mistake with it, left or right, somebody could die or be greatly injured. So guess what? I am able to watch them go from high anxiety to confidence in an amount of time that isn't out of control. I can do that in a day or half a day.
Tell me about the number of women who have come to you, hardly knowing which end of the thing to hang on to, who have left at least with a working familiarity with a firearm.
Oh, thousands and thousands. And I'm telling you, we've had people that have family members committed suicide with a firearm. We had somebody who was killed by law enforcement pointing a gun at a law enforcement official. We have had so many stories come through our class. We had the father of the 2-year-old who shot himself on Durst Road with his grandfather's pistol in our class. I mean, these are the people that come to the class, and they're looking to NFI for the not only the confidence, but to help us get them over that obstacle. You know, that obstacle that they were maybe even anti-gun, right? And wanted to learn. They showed up. We took them through whatever we're teaching them, whether it's advanced or just basic, a basic pistol course. And I'm telling you, it really makes a difference. And I've had the same core group of guys, including Vince Stevenson, who's done some work for us, for many, many years now. And it is a big... I just love it. I just love it.
Someone wants to sign up for a safety course or a CCW course or even advanced training. Who do they call? Where do they dial?
They can go to usgunpro.com or they can call me at 530-999-1822. Carl and I are teaching that advanced class on 20 November, so pretty popular class.
732 KCNR 1460. Back after this.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hello, my name is Julie Winter, and I am running for Reading City Council. I moved to Reading with my husband 27 years ago, raised our 2 sons here, and call Reading our forever home. I'm a family nurse practitioner with a master's degree from UCLA and I'm proud to say that our medical office has won Best of the North State 4 years running. I serve on the City of Reading's Community Development Advisory Committee, as well as the board of my local professional organization, and Advance Reading, that manages the Civic. I am a graduate of Leadership Reading and a member of numerous civic organizations. My commitment to grow our local economy, leverage our city's assets, and make our streets safe again is unfailing. I believe that Reading's best days are still ahead. Join me to create a thriving, prosperous city for generations to come. Go to juliewinter.com, visit my Facebook page, and vote Julie Winter for Reading City Council on November 8th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Julie Winter for Reading City Council.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more, to transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
.736 KCNR, 1460. It is 50 degrees. This portion of the program brought to you by the place where I'm headed to right after I get off work, Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way, a full-service sports club with a new program, Aqua Personal Training with Kathleen Kelling. Brenda has been enjoying that. It's a unique saltwater pool facility that's only at Wellgate Sports Club. You get increased range of motion and flexibility, reducing exercise inflammation. You can get 12, 24, or 36 session packages, and it's a great place to, it's a different kind of health club, and it's probably the best one I have ever been in, and trust me, I have been in a bunch of them. Wellgate Sports Club, they believe self-care is the best health care. 768-1205.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. First guest this morning in the Free Fire Studios is Vint Stevenson, my good buddy. Good morning, Vint.
Good morning, Ted.
Vint is here with the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, also known as CVAC. You have a big event tomorrow night.
Absolutely. It's actually a big event for the community. Obviously, Measure D and E are high on everybody's list of awareness. So it's a situation where it's time to discuss it further. And you know what, CVAC, guys, is taking a little bit different role this year. We've saw a void in information availability, and so we have tried to make it as objective as we possibly could. For those of you who attended the candidate forum we just recently held, it was a time to sit down right next to the candidates in a large forum, be able to ask your questions, be able to not be bound by a 30-second or a one-minute time limit. You basically got to test their information and their insight on a lot of different topics. So a lot of people went away with that's the model that they want moving forward. And that's really what we're trying to discover is how we can put these events together in such a way that really gives information. We want – our goal is to give – the Reading voter, the most informed platform that they possibly have to make that decision on December 8th or those ballots when they mail them in.
So I won't be here tomorrow night. I am very, very interested in it, though.
Oh, cool.
So I heard what you just said, and I love it. But tell me or make me and our listeners feel good about the information that's going to be presented, because so much of the time – the presenters have already decided the way they're going to vote it,
right.
And you can't help but spin it that way.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So who's presenting, and why should they go and listen?
Well, along with Measure D and E, just so you guys know, Proposition 61, Pete Conate will be up here to talk about that. We've got some people that we're going to bring out for Measure H, because that's another one. Shasta College is a bill that, or measure that they've got out there. But to give you guys an idea, if you come tomorrow night, I'll give a little presentation right before we get started that'll sound something like this. Your job tonight is to keep an open mind as a listener, as a questioner, to make sure that you phrase your questions in such a way that draws out the facts and nothing but the facts. If it's an opinion, I would like you to hold it back. I would like you to refrain from trying to position yourself at any point. This is a chance, an opportunity to speak amongst your peers and amongst the speakers and try to gain information. So if you're in a situation where you're really trying to come here to help people make up their minds, please take a back step step back and really allow people to kind of form their own opinions on things.
You know, that's a leadership position, and I want to thank you for that. That's a leadership position, and that's a great benefit to the community. So thank you for putting it together. Why do you think, just opinion, I'm asking you for your vote, it doesn't matter, I just want your opinion. Why do you think anybody would push back on D&E?
You know, I think the bigger issue is obviously there's history. The big issues around the DRBA and the REU Advisory Committee and so on. You and I both have been around leaders where they take certain actions that really seem not only illogical, but quite frankly, just misstepped. And you begin to challenge internally in your own mind, what that next decision is going to be. And, that's being in the military, we know that, that's never a healthy thing. I mean, because quite frankly, if you say jump, it's got to be right now and it's got to be in the way that they're projecting and so on. So when I look at the city council and I look at the things that they've done, it becomes a scenario where they truly seem to have pulled apart, what was once a semi, common movement and a movement forward, and done it in such a way that we don't recognize their agenda anymore, where we once thought it was moving forward. That on top of the fact that, there's some real holes in this direction, this action that they're asking us to take. The jail thing, I mean, for a lot of us who understand restriction management and understand, how information, or in this case, resources flow, we've got a situation where we've got a true restriction at the jail cell area, all right? And quite frankly, bringing in more officers at this point not only creates a greater restriction at the jail cell area, because we can bring as many perps to the jail as we possibly can, and it's not going to alleviate that issue, and we're just going to have to send them out the back door, and they'll probably leave before the officer gets through with his paperwork. But quite frankly, the other part to this whole scenario is we look at, all right, at this stage, is this going to solve our issues? And we've got some other homeless scenarios going on, and we've got some things happening that, really is not going to be addressed by this, at least the way that they're saying it. And I think that's a problem for a lot of people, as you look at it and you say, well, is that going to make anything better? And it's like, well, there's certain things that are going to be raised by that. But then the last part is it going to make anything worse, is the other question you got to ask yourself. And we've got this 800-pound gorilla in the room, this unfunded pension issue, and every person that we hire is going to increase that to some degree. Now, you can say the new hires are not going to be as impactful on it, but they are going to be impactful. Community service officers, well, they're part of the POA, so they're going to have benefits and so on. So everything's going to add to that. And to me, that's not a good plan. Either we recognize that and we recognize we have to do something about it, or we, go this direction. And quite frankly, I think every decision that we make, and when I say we, I mean us and the city council makes moving forward, has to address that. And to me, anything that's going to exacerbate it in any way has to be really questioned. And at this point, that's where we're at.
And that seems like the universal answer when I ask people. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, it goes back to what you and I were talking about, Bob, which is our perception of what's going to happen with that money. I mean,
yeah, it seems people are very convinced that this is a con job, and you are not going to dissuade them easily from that point of view, because we've been burned too many times, or at least we feel that right. we have been burned too many times.
I would not go so far as to say it's a con job, because I think that the intent is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that they're right. I think that it's going to be that they're going to do the best they can with what they have. It's just that they've had a lot for so long.
Yeah.
And we seem to be in this vicious cycle, not only here, but all over the state.
Right. It's everywhere.
So, all over the state, you know. I think it's Proposition 65 that is the plastic bag proposition, mm-hmm. right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Where it will be illegal to use a plastic bag leaving a retail establishment. Not only that, but you must sell disposable bags for a dime, and that money must go to the state.
Yeah.
When you have that going on, it makes people distrustful.
You think?
I mean, you can get that right. This isn't complicated,
people. All the problems going on, a great piece in a news cafe, Donnie Greenberg's site, about the realignment, giving us this rise of the petty criminal, who is just, it's not necessarily, these petty thieves are not necessarily a threat, but they are a degradation to the lifestyle that we demand as citizens here.
Yeah, it's a quality of life. It's a quality of life issue.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't want to get out of my. I'm sorry. I don't want. I understand these people who may have problems. Some of them may have real problems. I don't want to get out of my Jeep in front of the United States Post Office in downtown Reading and have to scan up and down the street and see people laying around, obviously doing drug deals, throwing their garbage every which way, and. Excuse me for saying this, crapping on the lawn behind the bushes. I don't want to see that.
Was I supposed to hit that red button?
No. I didn't use the other word. But Okay. End of rant.
End of rant. Good for you.
Much better.
Let's do a read.
Let's do a break. This portion of the program brought to you. And if you disagree with me, I want to hear from you.
Hey, call it in.
Yeah, 605-4567. This portion of the program is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. It is Linda's favorite place in Reading, 2225 Hilltop Drive. The folks there at Four Winds Jewelry. Also, if you have a watch, a good watch that needs repair, they are your folks. They're at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, 222-2750.
I'm Adam McElvain, candidate for Reading City Council, and I'm asking for your vote this November. I am a veteran, local business owner, father, and husband. I'm ready for Reading to start moving in a new direction. I began attending city council meetings over 10 years ago, and I have served as a city commissioner for over 6 years. As a veteran and father of two small children, public safety is my number one priority. We need to feel safe on the street, at home, at work, and on the trails. As a candidate for Reading City Council, I have introduced concrete, tangible solutions to improve our economy and create jobs. We need business innovation. We need to draw young people to our city. And we need to give our businesses the ability to be competitive in the global economy. Please vote for me this November. Vote Adam McElvain for Reading City Council and vote for a brighter future.
Big Bike Weekend 2016. Thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
My name is Steve Morgan, and I'm running for the Board of Supervisors, District 4. What or where is District 4? District 4 includes Castella, Lakehead, Mountain Gate, City of Shasta Lake, and Northeast Redding. I retired after 32 and a half years from Mare Island Naval Shipyard in Vallejo. Part of that time was spent supervising around 50 to 100 people on three shifts, overhauling the front end of nuclear submarines, managing budgets and design problems. Recently, as chair of LAFCO, working with the special districts, cities, county, and the executive officer, I helped to facilitate the completion of long overdue 50-plus MSRs and SOIs. This required leadership and good communication skills to help keep everyone on the same page. I ask for your vote. Thank you.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
All righty, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I'm here in the Free Fire Radio studios with my good buddy Bad Bob and Vince Stevenson. We're talking about his event tomorrow evening, hosted by the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, also known as CVAC. And we've been kind of chatting about Measure D and E. So we talked about the pushback on it, and that's a universal pushback, right?
Yep, I think so.
And nobody in here talked about how you're going to vote it, who you're going to vote it. That doesn't matter to me. Let's just keep talking about why people are going to vote for D and E. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just say it all works out great. Right. Let's say the chief gets his cops and the sheriff gets his space and we get a mental health facility running and everything works out fine. Then all of this conversation really will be forgotten, of course. But you mentioned at the break that there was an alternative to D&E that had been talked about, obviously not formally yet, but it's been talked about. What about that?
Well, let me make sure that we're real clear on this. You know what? Everyone I've spoken to, from Rotary groups to veteran groups and so on, we've all been in agreement that we want more officers. We want better response times. We want more community service officers. We want the drunk tanks and the health mental health facilities. And these are all things that everyone in the community wants. I can't imagine that anybody doesn't want these things. But it becomes whether it fits our budget and whether it's done in the proper way or not. In our case, we continually look at this, and we all get a different feel as to whether or not this thing is going to pass or not, depending on who you talk to and so on. And so we started kind of looking, and again, we see a void, and that void is the what if. And as a financial planner by trade, and this is what I do professionally, you know, it's just, what do we do in this scenario that will actually advance things if this doesn't pass? And so we started looking for an alternative to things. And what we came up with was something that we've been introducing to groups to talk to them about. And I'm going to do it to you guys right now. You know, what would you feel about this? In this case, what we're talking about is currently we're about ready to lose 0.25% off of it'll expire this year in December 31st. And it will go back to the city or basically be canceled out. So what we said is, instead of the 0.5% that we are talking about with Measure D, we'll introduce a measure in probably March or April that will be 0.25%. So it'll replace that 0.25% that we're dropping down, and that will be a specific tax. And so it's going to take a lot of, you know, obviously unity within the community, but it'll be a specific tax, and it'll be specifically for those things that we've talked about, the mental health facility, the drunk tank, you know, so on, whatever it's going to be. But I'll talk about the process here in a second. The other thing would be a countywide 0.25% that would be specific to the jails, because the jails, for a lot of us, the jails are the winner. And quite frankly, even if Measure D was passed, let's get real. The way it's set up right now,
it will not solve our jail issue. It does not have enough money. If we use the whole $120 million towards it at this stage over that 10-year period, it wouldn't solve our jail issue. We could send prisoners to other counties, which we're already doing, and paying $500,000 a year, we could bump that to $1 million, but quite frankly, it's not going to solve our issue. We need to build another facility. We need more beds. We need so on. The courthouse is now on hold indefinitely, so any chance of us using those courtrooms to put in more beds and to make that alteration, that's not going to happen. So what do we need to do? Well, it needs to be countywide. One, because not the people in the city are not the only people paying this tax. The people from the local communities, the county surrounding areas, they come in here and they shop in this area as well. They pay that additional 0.5% if Measure D was to pass. And so they should have a say in whether or not this is what's going on. But they should also be required to pay a portion of it as well. There's no reason that the city of Reading should have to pay the entire thing to take care of the jails, to take care of all these other things that we need. So in this case, a countywide 0.25% specific tax for jails would then be introduced. But more importantly, the process. We all know what occurred. We spend $150,000 on this wonderful blueprint plan. We bring in this objective group that I assume that they researched and they, saw the work that they did. They come in, they talk to our leaders, they talk to our experts in the fields, and they come up with a plan. And they say, here's how the plan should work, and here's what the greatest impacts could be, and so on. And then because it didn't fit for some reason, they said, we don't want to release it to the public, we're going to tweak it first. Well, then we went into a courtroom and the judge ruled, no, you gotta release that. And so it took a lot to get that first one out and to get it allow us to take a look at it. Then we went through a couple different versions. Well, during that process, it was all backroom stuff. It was all this person, all with vested interest. They got to actually choose how they wanted to do it, which in a sense is part of a great plan, but not the whole thing. The community needed to be involved. To me, the process needs to involve the community as it goes through this to make sure that they continually have an insight into it. And quite frankly, Ted, as well as anybody, that's also great leadership.
Absolutely.
Because if they buy into the plan, if they think that they're actually part of that plan and the creation of that plan, they're going to embrace that plan at the end. And the way that they went about it was leadership 101 reversed. I mean, it was just absolutely terrible. Watching it happen was like a train wreck in slow motion. It was like, guys, don't you get it? But you said it earlier on the show. As I was driving, I was listening, and it was very, very spot on. And that is, leaders are forged. And quite frankly, we've got some people in there that just aren't used to leading. And they're making some very, very amateur, that's a harsh word, but amateur mistakes. And quite frankly, that's what it is. So this new one would be not only the finished product, but the process would be completely different.
Now, the idea, and I think you're exactly correct, as informal leaders, as community leaders, as guys and gals who know, right, as the Vince Stevensons and as the Rocky Slaughters and as the Ted Lighties and the Carls and the Bad Bobs and the rest of us know, they're still our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing we can do is continue to talk and give them good ideas.
Lead
it's
up.
All we can do.
Lead
and, up. And watch them maybe take something that we say and put it in their toolkit, mm-hmm, and apply it later. Because, frankly, this as well as I do, bashing a leader just leads to worse leadership.
Right.
We know that.
Separation.
I think that's a great idea. Now, here's a good question. Do you think – I love these just opinion questions, right? They're awesome. If the tax was for the jail only, specific, like you said, better chance of passing or not?
I think we'd probably be over 70%,
yeah.
75%. Yeah. I mean, it would really, and that's the thing. If the process, to me, what I envision is, if this process is followed, I have a feeling it will not only be, well over the 66% required or 67% required, it will be something that people will be excited about, and then they'll be anxious to get to it. I mean, let's get this thing moving.
Have you ever seen a strategic analysis on on exactly what the money should be able to do. I mean, have you ever seen a, this is how many we return to the street, this is how many that would we could keep to trial if we did this. If I had four more, 10 more CSOs, we could handle this much. Right now, we're not getting to this much caseload. We could change and make it to this. We could make it to this level. Have you ever seen anything like that when it comes to this money?
No. No.
I haven't either. Have you, Bad Bob?
No, I have not, and I would very much like to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine it, right?
What could we hear, well, we need this money so we can do X, Y, Z. Well, I would like a little more detail than that. I would like to know how many officers, what the effect of those officers, whether they be CSOs or sworn.
What would it be very settling to have that? Yeah.
It would be. I'm just thinking, and we'll talk a little bit about more about that after the break, because I think that could go a long way towards helping people make their decision.
And coming up, another part of the equation, you get them off the, you know, the officers pick them up off the street, the jails house them, but there's a step in the middle that we'll be talking about next hour.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I can hardly wait.
The prosecution phase. How's that for a segue?
I love that.
Coming up on 8 o'clock KCNR 1460, the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Children in the Chicago school district will be going to class today, and their teachers are not going to be going on strike, the teachers' union says. After more than a year of negotiations, it did strike a tentative deal on a new bargain.
What we ended up with is something that's good for kids, it's good for clinicians, it's good for paraprofessionals, for teachers, for the community, and we're very pleased that we were able to come to this.
That assessment coming from Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis. Samsung Electronics has announced it is now discontinuing production of the Galaxy Note 7 smartphones permanently, a day after stopping global sales as well. Some of those devices, as well as their replacements, were catching fire. Samsung has advised Note 7 users to turn them off and then replace them altogether. Donald Trump launching an all-out Twitter attack today on House Speaker Paul Ryan.
A day after the conference call where Ryan told congressional Republicans he wouldn't campaign for Trump, the GOP nominee went ballistic, tweeting, and this is a quote, "Our very weak and ineffective leader Paul Ryan had a bad conference call where his members went wild at his disloyalty." He also said that despite winning the second debate, it's hard to do well with zero support from Ryan and others. And in a third tweet, Trump said, "It's nice that the shackles have been taken off me, and I can now fight for America the way I want to."
As correspondent Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Police say a shark has attacked a surfer north of Cannon Beach off the Oregon coast. Steve Gehrig saw the attack and spoke to KOIN-TV.
I saw the back, so and the dorsal fin. Like, all I could say is the dorsal fin was about this big. You know, it kind of came up over and kind of whipped around real quick, and it was just real, real fast.
Oregon State Police say the victim, 29-year-old Joseph Tanner of Portland, Oregon, was bitten while surfing near Indian Beach at Ecola State Park yesterday afternoon. He's now recovering from those bite wounds. More from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
The European aircraft maker Airbus has written to the Polish Prime Minister seeking compensation over Poland's decision to withdraw from a helicopter deal.
Poland abruptly cancelled the contract to buy 50 French-designed Carousel helicopters last week. The move triggered a diplomatic row. The French president, François Hollande, called off a planned visit to Warsaw and threatened to review other defence cooperation. Now Airbus has also attacked the decision. Referring to plans to build a new production line, as well as a parts factory, Mr. Enders said the aerospace giant had wanted to invest in Poland big time, but the government had slammed the door. The company, he said, had spent a huge amount of money on the contract and would be seeking remedies.
That's BBC's Theo Leggett reporting. President Obama says the U.S. is partnering with commercial companies to build new habitats to try to send humans safely to Mars within 2 decades. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. An Iowa company is recalling the cookie dough it sold to other companies because it may be contaminated with Listeria.
While Aspen Hills notified customers about the recall on Sunday, it wasn't immediately clear whether any of the cookie dough had reached consumers because the Garner, Iowa-based company doesn't sell directly to consumers. Aspen Hills spokesman John Austin says the cookie dough was recalled because the company found lapses in its food safety system which could have allowed the product to become contaminated. Those lapses included inadequate documentation and failure to wear proper uniforms.
As correspondent Jeremy House, a large international study is tying heavy exertion while stressed or mad to a tripled risk of having a heart attack within an hour. Barry Jacobs, a psychologist with the Crozer Keystone Health System in Philadelphia and a volunteer with the American Heart Association, says the study shows that, quote, when you're angry, that is not the time to go out and chop a stack of wood. More on these stories, townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy and Bad Bob, along with our guest this morning, Stephanie Bridget, Chief Deputy District Attorney for the County of Shasta. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
We've been having a great visit on a break. Good background, a very good background.
Now you know what the heck you're talking about.
Military brat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the first thing I do is try to figure out, you know, where everyone's coming from here.
Sure.
Well, welcome to Free Fire Radio.
Thank you.
You're no stranger to this place. Nope. I understand. Very glad to have you here today. And we got a couple things we want to talk about. We want to talk about an event you have coming up.
If I may, Sergeant Major.
Yes.
One piece of business before you launch into this.
Oh, no problem. Let's get it done.
Abundant sunshine today and a high of 78 degrees, overnight low of 51, partly cloudy tomorrow, and then it starts in. Now, we actually have a weather advisory. We've got rain starting on Thursday, and it will continue through the weekend. Now, the accompanying things are that the ground is very dry. We're looking for streams to suddenly start flowing. Flooding is possible in some of the higher areas because we could see up to 2 to 3 inches of rain. They keep upping the ante here. So if you got some late season camping going on, you're going to want to reconsider those plans. Also, the roads will be very slick. Remember, the first rains after a long dry spell, the roads get extremely slick, and we want everybody to be safe out there. An advisory there from the National Weather Service. We'll be looking for rain all the way through Tuesday, and then into next week we'll be back to sunny skies. So a big change in our weather coming up. It is 50 degrees in Redding. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business with good customer service. Their customers are warm friends at Shasta Gas Propane. And now that I have finished my – oh, by the way, the Shasta Lake 72 feet from the top.
Nice, Bad Bob. Thank you very much. And thanks for keeping me on track, by the way.
KCNR.
Okay, Stephanie Bridget. Welcome.
Welcome.
So you've got an event coming up October 14th, 2016 at Shasta Lanes. What can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. So October every year is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This past week we went before the Board of Supervisors to have the month of October proclaimed as Domestic Violence Awareness Month here in Shasta County. So this entire month we are focusing on raising awareness about this occurring in our county. One of the things that the Shasta County District Attorney's Office is doing, we did it last year, so this year is our second annual, is a Strikeout Domestic Violence Bowl-a-thon. That's going to be held this coming Friday at 6 o'clock at Shasta Lanes. You put your team of four together. You contact the District Attorney's Office at 225-5220. You come in and get your registration packet. And you can sign up and start raising funds and come out. It's a great event, and I look forward to talking about a lot of the details throughout the morning this morning. But one of the main things is that all the money that we raise is donated to One Safe Place. And last year we were able to raise $7,200 and give over to One Safe Place to help everything that they do with the Sierra Center and beyond.
At this juncture, I have to interject because the man who signs my check is on the phone. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Mr. Bach.
Good morning, Carl.
When Carl talks,
good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Carl.
I'm standing in line, getting ready to get on a plane, heading home. I'm in the group five, which means we are somewhere in the cargo hold after they put the dogs in. So. And considering the dogs we've been working with, maybe that's where we've been going. Anyway, I just wanted to do a public thanks to Ted Sergeant Major for doing a great job, because I was able to listen to you a little bit yesterday. And, of course, Bob, you are always the man that holds it together. And thanks, of course, to Brenda, too, for coming on. And Stephanie Bridget.
Good morning.
Is it Stephanie on today?
Yep. Yeah, she's here right
she's
now.
Listening. Right here.
Well, that's what I thought, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're such a great defender of what's right in our town.
Thank you.
Anyway, hey, y'all have a great day. Like I said, I'm getting ready to get on.
All right, safe travels.
Hey, Carl, hey, take care, buddy. Call me when you get back.
See you back here, Carl.
You bet. Bye.
Yeah. By the way, Stephanie, the word on the street about you is, and I will quote, pretty and no nonsense. So there you go.
Amen.
Carl was on the money.
Okay.
All right, good. So let's go right back to your event, October 14th, 2016 at Shasta Lane. How much money did you say you guys donated last year?
$7,200.
Wow. That's a well-attended event.
It really was. And we're really hoping to top that this year. You know, we've reached out throughout the community, and we're still reaching out this week trying to get stuff for our raffle. One of the things we do that night is a really big raffle, and as well as a silent auction, and we have some really good items, and that brings in a lot of money as well. We had a lot of people who showed up, because we always fill up, our teams fill up. I think right now we have a couple team slots left. But even if you don't get a team, you can show up and spend the 2 hours out there just, you know, hanging out with us. We do the raffle about every 15 minutes. We raffle off a prize, and there's some really great prizes that are there too.
I think that's probably going to be an incredible event and a lot of fun. I mean, do you bowl? Do you bowl much, Bob?
I know what the three little holes are for, and that's about it when it comes to bowling.
What about you, Steph? Do you bowl much?
I bowl. I won't be bowling that night. I'll be running the raffle and kind of running the night. But, you know, there's trophies for the worst score, so that's right up your alley.
I'd probably have that one. I can roll 10 straight gutters with the best of them.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that. I just didn't spend enough time doing it, I guess. Sometimes I wish I was better at it. So let's talk about domestic violence in Shasta County for a moment, because, you know, a lot of us were raised in homes where domestic violence wasn't prevalent, you know, and but you said something very, very important before you came in. That is, it's a very private crime. Mm-hmm. It's inside the home, so we don't know about it. Mm-hmm. Just exactly how prevalent is it, and where do we stand as far as Shasta County versus the other counties in the state?
Yeah, well, statewide, you know, we do have a higher per capita rate of this occurring. You know, I haven't seen a recent study. That one is about 2 to 3 years old. And if I look at the statistics just from my office, from the district attorney's office, I can see that from last year up to this point, compared to this year up to this point, we haven't seen an increase. So that's a good thing. That means that we're headed in the right direction. And that's, you know, because the efforts of prosecuting these crimes, the efforts of getting out and raising awareness every month or every October for domestic violence awareness, it's part of the district attorney's efforts in kind of partnering with One Safe Place and all the efforts that they do and all of our law enforcement partners to raise awareness and hopefully prevent this crime. But like you said, our conversation about where this occurs, it does occur behind closed doors. So it can typically be a very difficult thing to prosecute or if we even find out about it. And that's really the first step, is getting people to know that the resources are out there at One Safe Place or even the Crime Victim Assistance Center that is housed right inside the district attorney's office, and that the district attorney's office is going to support you and they're going to prosecute the crime.
So that's something that you guys take very, very seriously as soon as the allegation surfaces.
Yeah.
Would that normally come from a law enforcement agency via report, or is that how that works usually?
Yeah, the way it works for our office is we're not a reporting agency, so people don't typically call us to report a crime. You can, and we'll refer you to where you need to actually do the actual report. But typically it's reported to a police officer or a deputy if the sheriff's office is involved. They do the report and they submit it to our office. Once it's submitted to our office, we review it and then we would file from there. And we have one full-time dedicated prosecutor that's all that he does is domestic violence cases.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah. So they get some attention right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one domestic violence prosecutor, and that's talking about our felony domestic violence level crimes. That's where you're going to have a physical injury or something more substantial. There's also misdemeanor level domestic violence, and that would be handled in our misdemeanor unit. So though we have one full-time prosecutor, we also have a misdemeanor team that would be handling misdemeanor level domestic violence as well.
You know, I can tell you this, and I do know this for a fact. I deal in my industry is all about handguns and rifles and training.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to being a prohibited person, mm-hmm. no firearms rights, nobody argues with the domestic violence side of it.
Right.
Right. Right. There are a lot of things people do argue with.
Right.
Right. 18 years old, getting a fight at a party, knock some dude's tooth out. That's a 10-year
right.
deal. Right. Because that's a... whatever you guys probably call it, gross misdemeanor or something, battery or something.
misdemeanor battery.
Yeah. That's a 10-year prohibition, right?
Right.
That's a long time. But so we can argue that. But I don't think anybody here would ever argue a domestic violence charge.
Right.
When I was in the Army, we had, when the Lautenberg Act was passed, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, not even soldiers could carry guns if they were charged and convicted of a domestic violence crime.
Right.
And they were put out of the Army because of it.
Right.
So, you know, the heinous nature of the crime, because it's private, and because usually, not always, mm-hmm. not always, but usually the one victim is always the victim, and smaller in stature sometimes, and you know, not the alpha person inside the house. You're right. They probably don't. They don't report.
They don't. It's the psychological abuse, though, that goes right along with the physical abuse that can prevent that. You know, we've got the person who is the breadwinner in the family, or the person who's saying, yeah, this will tear our family apart. It's going to hurt your kids, or I'll take the kids with me. It's a lot of that type of stuff that also prevents people from reporting, or the change in personality the next day. I'm so sorry. I love you. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's very dangerous. Bob, what have we got going on?
Well, it is 8:17 on KCNR 1460. This portion of the program brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service. All makes and models of heating and cooling systems. They've got warranties, guarantees, and service 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642. Check out their website at homecomfort.org.
1/2 of military-connected students attend a community college like Shasta College, where they need one-on-one services. Measure H will assist military personnel and veterans with a dedicated veteran support center at Shasta College. Right now, our businesses need trained workers. Measure H will help with the construction of a new career technical education facility to provide students with training in advanced manufacturing, welding, automotive diesel, and computer science. And right now, perhaps more than at any other time, our fire, law enforcement, and emergency medical workers need trained personnel. Measure H will help by building a regional public safety training facility for collaborative trainings and to fill positions with highly trained new job candidates. With Measure H, all money raised will stay local and cannot be taken by the state, nor used for salaries, pensions, or other operating expenses. Do your part to help our veterans, our businesses, and our fire and police. Vote yes on Measure H.
Paid for by the Committee in Support of Measure H.
I'm Adam McElvain, candidate for Reading City Council, and I'm asking for your vote this November. I am a veteran, local business owner, father, and husband. I'm ready for Reading to start moving in a new direction. I began attending city council meetings over 10 years ago, and I have served as a city commissioner for over 6 years. As a veteran and father of two small children, public safety is my number one priority. We need to feel safe on the street, at home, at work, and on the trails. As a candidate for Reading City Council, I have introduced concrete, tangible solutions to improve our economy and create jobs. We need business innovation. We need to draw young people to our city. And we need to give our businesses the ability to be competitive in the global economy. Please vote for me this November. Vote Adam McElvain for Reading City Council and vote for a brighter future.
My name is Steve Morgan, and I'm running to be a voice on the Board of Supervisors for the citizens of District 4 and all citizens of Shasta County. There needs to be better two-way communication between the public and their elected officials. My main concerns are the homelessness and how to give them a hand up, not just a handout. We need more and better trained public safety officers. Another issue the county has is the lack of mental health facilities. The passage of Measure D will generate monies that will be added to the county money for a mental health crisis stabilization unit. We also need to take care of our businesses and help them grow and not hinder their expansion with unnecessary regulations. I have lived in the city of Shasta Lake since 2004, and I am married to my wife, Pam. I ask for your vote. So remember, your vote counts.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
821 KCNR 1460's Free Fire Radio, still about 50 degrees in Reading. Are you paralyzed by the possibilities when it comes to dealing with your windows? Well, what about their function? Do you want total darkness? You want filtered light? Should there be lining? What about fabric? Well, all the answers are available for you with the team at Budget Blinds. Jerry and his crew there can help you come up with the ideal solution for your home. Give Budget Blinds a call at 226-9027. Now, back to our guest host, Ted Leidy, on Free Fire Radio.
All right. In the studio with Stephanie Bridget, Chief Deputy District Attorney for the County of Shasta. Was having a very good conversation about her event coming up on October 14th at Shasta Lanes. They're doing a strikeout domestic violence bowl-a-thon. Registration fees $12 a person. Teams of four should raise $100 for the event. Last year, over $7,000 was raised and donated to the Sierra Center. Great use of time, especially if you're a bowler. Good chance to go out and show off those skills you spent a lifetime honing. One of the things that when it comes to domestic violence in Shasta County, we tend to blame a lot of crime on homelessness. We just do it. Whether it's right or not, I don't know, right? But we do it. But you said that your domestic violence rates have kind of steadied over 2 years. We don't have, you don't see that spike because of whatever. Are many times are domestic violence rates based on factors that are kind of universal, such as poverty or finances in the home, drug use, alcohol use, things like that. I mean, that's kind of, was that kind of universal?
Yeah, I think those things can definitely cause, you know, tension in the family that can escalate to domestic violence type situations. I don't think that that is always the case, though, because domestic violence we've seen is really something that really crosses every socioeconomic line. And you see it in the, you know, the doctors, the lawyers, those type of families as much as you do. You know, we get cases where there's a homeless couple that are involved in domestic violence and then just every range in between. It really is one of those crimes. But I do see that, you know, drug use, alcohol use, finance stressors and stuff like that can be a common theme in police reports that can trigger that type of an incident. But not always. A lot of times, you know, jealousy and just the normal activities that would cause someone who's already kind of predisposed to those anger issues to commit domestic violence, to commit that crime.
And as we're talking along, our listeners will probably have this picture painted in their head of domestic violence. That means man committing a crime against a woman. But that's not always the case. Domestic violence is many different, could be many different situations, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, and most people do think, you know, it's the man hitting the woman, but it's really not. It's family violence. It's family that's occurring there. And a lot of times it's, you know, same-sex couples. It's females being the victim over a husband or a boyfriend. I mean, we really see it every which way coming in. And we don't treat any type of report any differently. If it's, you know, it fits that statute, that crime, we're going to prosecute it. We're going to protect that victim. We're going to do everything we can to secure the victim a conviction if that's the right thing to do under the set of facts.
Right. So let's say two adult brothers lived in the home, right? Mm-hmm. If they got into a fight inside the home or something that was ongoing, would that be considered domestic violence also?
Yeah, well, what we would typically do in those cases is we would do like just a battery charge or depending on the level of the violence. But, you know, when there is those family situations, you can get those orders for domestic violence terms such as, you know, family type counseling and stuff like that may be under that domestic violence umbrella.
And the reason I'm asking is because when I was in the Army, mm-hmm. that would have fallen under that Lautenberg Act we were talking about. Two people residing in the same place is all that had to be in place.
Yeah. Our statutes are a little bit different than that, but certainly if there is that family element, then we want to address that with family counseling and stuff like that if we can in any type of resolution of the case, if it's going to help not prevent any future crimes and help the victim and the defendant reunite if they can.
Very good. I keep thinking about something that happened to me about 1986. I was a private in the Army, and you know privates have like no money. So I had about a 78 Toyota pickup, two-wheel drive. Sides were rotting out of it because they use salt on the roads back in North Carolina and places like that. And so one of my buddies who was also a private asked me for a ride home. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. So I put him in my truck and we clunked that thing all the way down to his home, which was in a very modest dwelling, trailer park, you know, where we all lived. You know, we were just getting started out and it was where we lived. Man, I don't know whether he was late or what, but I was sitting in that truck looking out the windshield and he walked up his steps and she opened that door and punched him right in the eye. I don't know what happened. I was shocked. The next day at work, sure enough, he comes to work and he's got a black eye. I said, what happened? I think it was late. I think it was late to something.
Sure.
And that's how easy anger surfaces, especially when you live with someone all the time.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you know, on any type of a team or any time you're with somebody all of the time in a closed residence, especially when the environment isn't ideal, mm-hmm. financial stressors, drugs and alcohol, anger, things like that, you know, it could really surface.
Yeah.
It can really surface.
Yeah, it definitely can. And especially if there's someone in the home that doesn't have the coping skills to deal with their anger or haven't dealt with any personal issues that they may have, and they can get themselves to that point instead of, you know, taking those deep breaths, walking away, talking to someone when they're calm. You know, these are people who are going to just act right out under those stressors, and that's when we end up having these type of situations.
Do you guys have, you've got your own domestic violence department, or officer. And how often do you guys do, or even obviously you do, because you told me that you were in the same, you had kind of leveled off, a real strategic analysis of mm-hmm. how well you're doing. Mm-hmm. And do you guys feel really accountable at all for that, for keeping those crimes at bay? Because I know you prosecute them, so you don't have to. I'm asking because I want to know, and so do the listeners.
Yeah, well, they're a case that we take very, very seriously, and that's why we have decided that it's a type of unit that we want to vertically prosecute, which means we have just one dedicated person who's going to read the police report as soon as it comes into our office, who's going to handle it at all stages of the proceeding up until it's sentenced. And that's because it is an important area to us, because not all crimes are done that way. Some crimes are reviewed by just a prosecutor who reviews everything that comes in. But by having that dedicated prosecutor, I think we're able to make sure the right cases are filed, someone who has the right amount of training to recognize whether the provability is there, whether it falls under the statute, so that nobody is left behind, that no victims are left behind. So that's very important to us, and that's why we also have at least one of our part-time DA investigators who works with our domestic violence prosecutor to do the follow-up work on those cases to make sure they're adequately prepared. Because a lot of these cases are kind of an uphill battle for us, because they occur behind closed doors. You know, a lot of it is a he said, she said, or, you know, however the factual scenario may come out. There's not a witness. And even if the person has some type of a bruise on them, a lot of times they're going to tell them that bruise came from something else. They
absolutely
might make some
fell down the stairs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's 8:30 on KCNR 1460, and we'll be back with guest host Ted Leidy and our in-studio guest, Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County Chief DA, right after these messages. But right now, we want to tell you it is 8:30 and 51 degrees. This portion of the program brought to you by Cypress Square Barber Shop. It is man's last stronghold. Find him down there at 2463 Athens Avenue. It's where Carl Gottbot, Lieutenant Colonel USMC, retired, gets his haircut. And a lot of other people I know get their haircut at Cypress Square Barbershop as well. 244-9478. Check them out. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I'm Adam McElvain, candidate for Reading City Council, and I'm asking for your vote this November. I am a veteran, local business owner, father, and husband. I'm ready for Reading to start moving in a new direction. I began attending city council meetings over 10 years ago, and I have served as a city commissioner for over 6 years. As a veteran and father of two small children, public safety is my number one priority. We need to feel safe on the street, at home, at work, and on the trails. As a candidate for Reading City Council, I have introduced concrete, tangible solutions to improve our economy and create jobs. We need business innovation. We need to draw young people to our city. And we need to give our businesses the ability to be competitive in the global economy. Please vote for me this November. Vote Adam McElvain for Reading City Council, and vote for a brighter future.
It's tent sale time this weekend, all weekend, and Redding Key is moving them all to the Mount Shasta Mall. This is the big one.
You'll save lots of money with 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2016 Optimas, Fortes, and Rios, and 2017 Fortes and Sorentos.
Get $2,500 Kia customer cash on all 2016 Fortes and Optimas.
Choose from 52 new Optimas and 38 new Sorentos while they last.
And leasing's easy with $6,900 Kia lease cash on 16 Sedonas and $4,600 Kia lease cash on 17 Sorentos.
Don't miss this sale this weekend at the Mount Shasta Mall. All of the cars will be there and priced to move.
Complimentary oil changes for life with every vehicle purchased. It's going to be fun.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charges on approval of credit subject to prior sale. Must lease through Kia Motors Finance. Release offer ends 10/31.
Redding Kia is at the Mount Shasta Mall this weekend.
RedingKia.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
And we are back on KCNR 1460 as I try to find the right buttons here. Hey, got to ask Ted a quick question here. I'm going to suck you into this one. You a cigar guy, Ted?
Yeah, I like cigars.
Well, you may want to know about Tobacco and Brew's Crowned Heads Tour that is taking place. Actually, it's a display that's taking place down there at Tobacco and Brew. It's the Crowned Heads Roadshow at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's got special deals featuring Four Kicks, Headley Grange, J.D. Howard Reserve, and Jericho Hill. And it's all being sponsored over there at Tobacco and Brew. Give them a call, 223-2049. It's happening on the 13th, 5 to 7 p.m.
Perfect. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it's supposed to be some really good stuff.
Well, of course, it's Tobacco and Brew.
All right.
They only have really good stuff.
Yep. A veteran supporting business and longtime supporter of KCNR 1460.
I love it. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I'm in the studio this morning with Stephanie Bridget, Chief Deputy District Attorney for the County of Shasta, talking on break a little bit about the statistics and about how important it is that you guys follow those statistics to make sure that our homes are safe and free, relatively free, from domestic violence. Do you guys have a statewide association that deals with that, or is it just like you're the chief deputy district attorney, you talk to all the other chief deputy district attorneys in the state?
Yeah, well, we've got the what's called the CDAA, the California District Attorneys Association. So that is statewide for all the district attorney offices. And inside that, there are like listservs or groups that we go. Like, I'm on a chief one, so I can communicate with the chiefs throughout the state. We have them for domestic violence. So a prosecutor who's in domestic violence can get on there and communicate with them statewide if they have issues. So it's kind of done by topic. So we're able to kind of share resources in that way. So that's very helpful.
So just give me an idea, because like I said, I have no idea. What is our rate of domestic violence in the county? I mean, out of 100 houses, what can we expect? You can't give me that, but give me an idea. Paint a picture for the listeners and myself.
Yeah, I probably couldn't do it out of 100 houses. But I can say year to date this year in 2016, we've filed 297 cases. Now, out of that 297 cases, 153 of them were felony level. And 144 were misdemeanor level. So that is a lot of cases for sure. But like I said, one positive thing we've seen is that has not increased since last year. The numbers are right about the same within just a few case numbers of each other. And, you know, I hadn't seen that historically. I had seen it going up a little bit every year. And, you know, I'm hoping that it's the awareness that's really kicked up in the last 2 years. You know, we now have the Sierra Center, so the resources for victims has kicked up, that we might start seeing at least it steady off. And hopefully at some point we can start seeing that number decrease, so we're not the highest per capita rate of domestic violence in Shasta County anymore. We're hoping that we can chip away at that.
Very good. And quick math, you know, I went to West Valley High School. I'm proud to say that. Go Eagles. About one a day. About one a day. Well, is where we're at.
And something to keep in mind, though, is that is just what's filed by the district attorney's office. Every police agency that we have here responds to these calls daily. And before a police officer is going to be able to write a report and send it to our office, you know, they have to believe that it occurred and that it can be, that there's, you know, probable cause to believe that it occurred and they should submit it to us. Then when they submit it to us, there's some that we don't file. We read it and we think, well, you know, that happened, but maybe we can't prove it. So we are going to have to decline it and not file that case. So the number of instances in the county is higher than 297. That's just after it's kind of come through the funnel of law enforcement. So you say from reporting through to the DA's office down to kind of the lowest number, which actually gets filed, ones that we feel we could go in front of 12 members of our community and prove beyond a reasonable doubt, because that's the standard that we're going to be held to. And that's not always the case, especially in cases like this, like we were talking about, where they occur behind closed doors and there's not that witness that can corroborate them. So there starts to be evidence in the case of, you know, they're just mad at each other and he or she's making this up because they want to get the kids, or, you know, there's some financial benefit for them to try to see the other person prosecuted. You know, a lot of that credibility stuff starts coming in. So these cases historically can be very difficult to prove. So, you know, okay.
Speaking of difficult to prove.
Sure.
So really what we're talking about is hundreds or maybe even thousands, I don't know, cases really get submitted to you. You take a look at them, figure out which ones you think you can prove, and those are the ones you file. I know how difficult it is to prove. Does that really play out in the courtroom? Is your conviction rate, or whatever it is you guys call it, is it lower for domestic violence cases? Because some things are probably pretty much easier to prove than a domestic violence case.
Yeah, I would say that they can be. I don't have the exact numbers, but yes, I can, just from thinking about historically, the cases that are easier to get a conviction on are the ones that you have more concrete evidence. You know, you have, say, a driving under the influence charge where you've got a chemical test that shows the person's blood alcohol. You know, it doesn't matter what police officers or witnesses or anybody is actually going to remember or how good they testify. You've got solid physical thing that you can hand us, show. You're not always going to have that in domestic violence, or you're very infrequently going to have that, something else that you can hand up. You need to have those witnesses show up and testify well, be able to explain it to the jury, and then convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a very high standard to prove a case. And a lot of times, between the time the case is submitted, we file it, and trial, a lot of those victims change their mind. You know, they change their mind. They don't want to cooperate. If they come to court, they downplay what happened. Well, you know, it was partly my fault or this or not, you know. So yes, it can be very difficult to get those convictions. You know, a lot of times an offender is going to change their personality while the case is pending, and that can have a big impact on it.
Yeah, you know, when you think about that, that's probably that's a factor that you don't get in most other crimes, is these people do live together.
They do.
Right? And in many cases, they've been together for many, many years. So what happened one day can reconcile the next, and next thing you know, you've got a case filed, and of course it doesn't go anywhere. So I can understand that's got to be very, very frustrating at times. I have a buddy who went to work in your industry, and we play softball together. And when he first started his job, I said, "So, how's the new job going?" He goes, "It's going okay, but man, it's tough." And I said, "What is it?" And he says, "He somehow deals with these offenders. I don't know exactly what he does. It wouldn't be my place to say anyway." And he says, "Had a guy committed a domestic violence crime, went to jail, was out in an hour, went home, committed another domestic violence crime." Let me tell you, it is very frustrating. Do you ever become mentally fatigued by looking at that that cycle? Because I'm sure you see the same people over and over and over, right?
Yeah, you do see the same people, and it can be very frustrating when you're seeing the same people. And what we're seeing more and more is that case where people are arrested, they go to jail, and they're out in an hour or two. And it's not because of the jail not doing their job or sheriff not doing their job. They're doing everything they possibly can. It's just that there are so many offenders, and there's only so much room that these people are getting out. They're committing new crimes. We see them again and again. So that does take its toll on you, and you often have to say, well, you know, we are going to still keep pushing forward. We're going to prosecute to the fullest extent that we can and do our part. You know, especially when we have the case where we have an uncooperative victim who's mad at us, who's accusing us of, you know, ruining their life, ruining their family. Look what you're doing to me. And in our minds, we're like, well, we have to hear that. We have to absorb that. But a lot of times we have to say, I'm very sorry, but we're still going to prosecute. Hopefully someday you will appreciate that we went forward. And we do. We get those people who sometimes we've secured a conviction and the offender's gone off to prison and they've written a letter or they've came back years later and said, I didn't support it then, but it was the best thing for me that you guys went ahead and prosecuted, even though it was against my wishes because my life is so much better now.
And that's got to be the reward for you.
It is.
Right? Because you have to take off that cloak when you leave your office every day to go home and live your life as a family person.
Right.
And sometimes that's very, very, very difficult to do.
Yeah, it is. You really have to try to leave it behind at the office if you can.
Which I'm sure are long hours.
Yeah, yeah.
In your business.
They definitely can be. When you're in the middle of a jury trial, you know, especially a complicated domestic violence or a homicide trial or child molest, something like that, you can be in trial for weeks and weeks. And, you know, you're going to work during your hours, coming home to your family. And then once they're in bed, you're up in your home office or back at the office till 1, 2, 3 in the morning working on that case. And you can sustain that for weeks or months on end, depending on how long the case takes.
It's not like you can kick the can down the road.
No.
Yeah. That's in court. It's going to happen.
Yeah. The question is going to hit you in the morning, whether you're prepared or not.
That's right. Good. Good. Yeah. All righty. Bad Bob.
All righty. It is 8:45, 8:45, and we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to first tell you about Bastiani Arms, firearms dealer of choice. When it comes to selecting a new long gun or pistol, having gunsmiths work on guns or buying ammo, John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, my name is Julie Winter, and I am running for Reading City Council. I moved to Reading with my husband 27 years ago, raised our 2 sons here, and call Reading our forever home. I'm a family nurse practitioner with a master's degree from UCLA, and I'm proud to say that our medical office has won Best of the North State 4 years running. I serve on the City of Reading's Community Development Advisory Committee, as well as the board of my local professional organization, and Advance Reading that manages the Civic. I am a graduate of Leadership Reading and a member of numerous civic organizations. My commitment to grow our local economy, leverage our city's assets, and make our streets safe again is unfailing. I believe that Reading's best days are still ahead. Join me to create a thriving, prosperous city for generations to come. Go to juliewinter.com, visit my Facebook page, and vote Julie Winter for Reading City Council on November 8th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Julie Winter for Reading City Council.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, nonstop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. bikes. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
I'm Adam McElvain, candidate for Reading City Council, and I'm asking for your vote this November. I am a veteran, local business owner, father, and husband. I'm ready for Reading to start moving in a new direction. I began attending city council meetings over 10 years ago, and I have served as a city commissioner for over 6 years. As a veteran and father of two small children, public safety is my number one priority. We need to feel safe on the street, at home, at work, and on the trails. As a candidate for Reading City Council, I have introduced concrete, tangible solutions to improve our economy and create jobs. We need business innovation. We need to draw young people to our city. And we need to give our businesses the ability to be competitive in the global economy. Please vote for me this November. Vote Adam McElvain for Reading City Council and vote for a brighter future.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I've come to you because I need guidance to be true, and I just don't know where I can begin.
Ten minutes now in front of 9 o'clock on KCNR 1460. Mighty Fine Food sponsors this portion of the show. Locally owned and operated, operated by a father and son team. Ed DeFore and his family have been in Northern California for over 8 years. Kyle DeFore is the manager of Mighty Fine Foods, which features a full deli and butcher shop, over 1,000 drinks, including 250 beers. Don't try them all and then go driving, or Stephanie will be after you. Plus 350 liquors and wine options. One-stop shop on the way to the lake, Mighty Fine Foods, corner of 299 and Deschutes.
On the way to the lake and the Redding Gun Club, right down the hill. Yeah. From the Reading Gun Club.
Don't stop for your liquor on your way to the gun club.
No, I don't.
Bad idea.
After
good
class,
idea when
I
you're coming
there.
Home.
Yeah. Good corn dogs. The corn dogs are always nice and hot. I love corn dogs. So, back with Stephanie.
One of my
Bridget.
Vices. Yeah.
Yeah. The corn dogs and other fried foods. Back with Stephanie Bridget, Chief Deputy District Attorney for the County of Shasta. Let's make sure that people know where they can contact you. And let's talk a little bit more about your Strikeout Domestic Violence Bowl-a-thon.
Absolutely. So this Friday, Shasta Lanes, October 14th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., you can call first to get the information at 225-5220. That's at the district attorney's office. Or you could stop by the district attorney's office at 1355 West Street. And you can do that if you want to put a team together. And it would be a team of four, and we would want each person to raise $100. So the team itself would be bringing in $400. There is a prize for the team that raises the most money. They're going to get a trophy. And we have heard from the team who won the trophy last year. They're trying to make sure they're not overtaken this year. So get those donations up there to try to take that trophy away from them. We're going to have... You know, you can contact if you want to put a team together, but also if you want to drop off a basket. We're going to have a raffle. So if your business, your company, anyone wants to put a raffle basket together, or if you just want to drop something off to be put into a basket, we're very happy to get those, because the more baskets we get, the more raffle tickets we can sell. You know, and we have high dollar items that we are going to do silent auction. We have a really big grill that was donated by Osh that we're going to do a silent auction, and hopefully some more items for that as well. Everyone who participates gets a shirt. So you'll be wearing the Strikeout Domestic Violence shirt for 2016. You can collect those every year and be part of this event. But, you know, it's really, when it came down to it last year with it being our first event, it was really fun. Everyone was there for, you know, a common purpose. We had a lot of our law enforcement partners put teams together, and we're out there as well, bowling with our community members for this one common purpose to raise awareness and raise money to help prevent domestic violence in our community.
And as you mentioned, you only take so many teams.
Right.
So, but that doesn't mean if you can't put a team together, you can't come out and enjoy the event, because you certainly can.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on besides just the bowling, right?
Absolutely. The raffles, the silent auction, everyone's just kind of mingling and talking. Everything at Shasta Lanes is open, so you can go and you can buy their food, you can buy their drinks, whatever they have going on that night. You can just come out and hang out for those 2 hours as well. Check out our raffle prizes, buy a few tickets, and help support One Safe Place and raise that money.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but who's the defending champion?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'd have
All
to
right.
Look.
I just wanted to give him some props, Anytime somebody achieves greatly on the field of athletics, I like to give him some props.
I'll see if I can get that answer before we're done here.
That'd be really good. That way, because their competition in whatever industry they're in might say, hey, guess what?
That's a good point.
We're going to go take that trophy from them. I know we can do it. We're going to take that trophy. That's very good. That's very good. And what are some of the raffle prizes? Just like last year, what were some of the most popular raffle prizes that went?
Let's see. Last year, we had the grill. We had, like a date night packages. We have spa packages. We have shopping packages for food around town. You kind of name it. We have a basket put together for that topic, or we're trying to. We have, a wine basket. A real popular thing we had last year was this rolling cooler that had like every type of thing you would need to have your rolling party with you. there's some really good stuff. Let's see. I'm trying to get that number for you. Figure out who that highest person was.
I want to win a houseboat vacation. That's what I want to win. That's my next bucket thing to do. I've done a few, but I haven't done one in about 15 years. And so every time I go to it. Now, it must be pretty easy to get – well, not easy. Nothing's easy. But it must be easy to go and ask for someone to get behind this. I mean, I would have no problems going and asking for someone to get behind this.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. We've had a committee put together for several months now who have been going out in the community and just going to businesses, trying to say, hey, do you want to support this? Giving them the flyer. And if we haven't came to your business yet, please reach out to us. Give us a call at 225-5220. We've got about 4 people on this committee who are reaching out to as many people as we can, and we just welcome as much as we can. We're going to have a big poster up with all of our donors on there, and I know we have a lot of them that are going to be on the shirts, too, that we're posting, that everyone's going to be provided.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, oh, boy, I'd love to donate something like that. And I'm like, no, I don't want them to tell me no guns, domestic violence. No, we're good. I'll just go ahead and pass. Maybe I'll do a cash donation or something like that.
Yeah. And people can do that, too. If you wanted to just call in and say, I want to sponsor this event or I want to sponsor a team, you can do that as well, too.
One more time, the office where they can drop off donations.
That's at 1355 West Street. It's the what used to be the old library. It was all rehauled and turned into the district attorney's office about 5-6 years ago.
1355 West Street. Drop off a donation for Strikeout Violence. Bowl-a-thon.
So you're co-located with the Veteran Service Office?
We are.
Okay.
We are.
All right.
How long is that? I don't recall that. How long ago have you been there?
I want to say 6 years.
Okay.
6-7 years.
I remember
right
it being the library, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yeah.
I know that probably surprised you that I don't know where their office is.
Yeah.
But,
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Because most of the time you're a victim of a crime if you find out where our office is.
Right.
Or you're being prosecuted for some reason. So, not knowing is not that bad. But we want our community to know so they can help with events like this.
I think it's great. Now, this is going to be in the evening. So the bowl-a-thon and no blackout bowling, no black lights, nothing like that, right? It's just straight up competition.
Right. Yep. Yep.
You need to find out who won that trophy so I can challenge them.
A couple of quick questions here. Will there be handicap access? Do you get shoes? And how many games do you get to bowl?
Unlimited bowling for 2 hours. It does include shoe rental. There is a $12 per person sign-up fee to be on a team. And, you know, I don't know what Shasta Lanes has as far as accessibility.
Okay.
But whatever they have, we would have as well.
All right. Thank you.
I'm sure. Now, most of these people that it's $400 $400 a team.
That's how much we would like them to raise from friends and family members.
Yeah, so correct. They just go ahead and solicit friends and family and get, yeah, you know, $100. That's not that bad.
Yeah, $100 per person on the team is our goal.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think that is a wonderful idea. And of course last year over $7,000.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent.
We really hope to make it over that $10,000 mark this year if we can.
Very good. And this is your second?
Yep.
Annual, and it's obviously something you plan on doing year in and year out. Is this your biggest event of the year?
I think it is. You know, we've been trying to do a lot more events throughout the year to reach our community, engage with our community, but this certainly has been one of our biggest ones that we've done.
And this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
It is.
Is that right?
All of October, yes.
Yeah, it must be tough because there's a lot of things that go on in October that are awareness-oriented, Breast Cancer Awareness Month and that kind of stuff. So really, really happy that you guys have this together. And good chance to come out and meet some of the deputies.
Yep.
District attorneys,
yep. There's
and maybe the district attorney himself.
Yeah,
you know, who knows?
There's teams from our office. There's teams from law enforcement. There's teams from our community, just community members. There's business owners. There's all kinds of people who are going to be out there.
Stephanie, I think I can safely speak for the station when I say we want to have you back again and again because we've got some problems. Anybody with working brain cells knows that. And the prosecution is a part of the puzzle that needs to be solved. It's not just more cops. It's not just more jail space. There's that middle part of the equation. And it's going to take a cohesive effort to improve things because right now they definitely need improving.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Well, and you're an important part of the process that I don't think your average person on the street actually realizes, and you're probably being affected by resources as well as everybody else. And so, I think that would be a conversation that I would love to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
When coming to you back. In the meantime, thank you for listening to Free Fire Radio.
Command Sergeant Major, you have done admirably filling in for the Colonel. He should be back. Carl Bott should be back tomorrow to take over the helm once again.
I look forward to coming back. And remember, just like Carl says, there's the bad guys and the good guys. Which one are you?
And the news brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino on KCNR Shasta Ridding.
This hour from townhall.com, I'm Rich Thomason. Although Hurricane Matthew is long gone, the storm continues to claim lives. 15 fatalities in North Carolina alone, where Governor Pat McCrory is pleading with people to steer clear of floodwaters. Do not try to go through the water either on foot or in a vehicle.
We've had over 10 people killed as a result of that.
McCrory says a state trooper shot and killed a man during a confrontation amid the floodwaters in hard-hit Lumberton. The trooper and two deputies encountered the man while going through high water in a Humvee around 8 last night. McCrory says he has few details about the shooting, only saying that it happened in very difficult circumstances. Electric utilities in Georgia say roughly 90,000 customers remain without power in southeast Georgia and along the state's coast in the aftermath of the storm. Donald Trump, once again, attacking Paul Ryan. Trump calls Ryan very weak and ineffective. A day after the House Speaker said he would not campaign.